Regarding the study from the Sfat Emet on Purim, the third paragraph of these editions of the Sfat Emet Purim, page 67. Shnas Tok Reish Mem Aleph. Tok Reish Mem Aleph. The paragraph begins, Mashe Kovu Yoim Hamrucha Liyom Tok. Sfat Emet asks an obvious question. We probably have asked this question of ourselves, and we kind of just take it for granted that we'll mark Purim on the day when everything was quiet and calm, and those warriors who couldn't come up against the enemies of Bnei Israel left it. Well, the Venahafochu, that was the opposite of what was supposed to happen, was the day before. The day where we would, Chas v'Shalom, have been destroyed, where we would have been genocidally murdered, every man, woman, and child in Israel, was not on the 14th, but on the 13th. That was the day that turned into a day of joy, where it would have been God forbid, the ultimate day of tragedy. So why don't we mark for him on the 13th? Mashakovu yom hamanucha liyanta. As it says in the Megillah itself, V'yayim shlosha asul l'chedesh ador, was the day when we fought back and defeated our enemy Amalek. V'noyach v'arba asor boi. And then we had peace and we had a cessation of hostilities and came to Menucha on the 14th. And of course, for the people who lived in Shushan, so Esther Amalfi requested yet one more day for them to take revenge against enemies. And then, of course, that's why the Purim Day is celebrated in those cities that are surrounded, like the city of Shushan was surrounded by a Choma. They marked that day of joy on the 15th. But it's the day after all of the hostilities came to an end. But the day that was, as we said, when Hafech was the day earlier. The next was on the day before, on the Yud Gimel, that we had been granted permission to go against our enemies and succeeded. So he says, Achein ve'emes, the truth is, Kol hasimcha, Tzorech lihiyos l'shem Hashem. All of the joy, all of what we celebrate on Purim is not about us. Ultimately, what we should be thinking about, what we should be overjoyed for, is that Kavod Shemayim was protected and advanced by the survival of Am Yisrael. It's not merely about us. And in the words of the Sfat Emes, he says, it's really about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kavod Shemayim. Because that's what Amalek is all about. We defeat Amalek. Amalek doesn't just want that we shouldn't exist. Amalek wants to defy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole point of Amalek is the Ritzon HaBayre, the will of Hashem, is to be negated. All of the purpose of Am Yisrael is to do Hashem's holy work. And Amalek says, no, don't have Hashem's desire fulfilled by anybody in this world. Certainly not by the people who he wants that we should fulfill Hashem's desire. That is exactly the point of destroying Amalek then. Not just that we should survive, but that those people opposed to Am Yisrael's doing Hashem's work should be defeated so that Am Yisrael can bring about the holy work and be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, as is our purpose, as is the design of the universe. So it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will and about Kavod Shemayim. And of course, that's what we learn on the day of Purim. We learn from Pashas Bach, and that's exactly what the Torah says. Yod al kei tzkof, milchamo l'Hashem ba'amolek midor dor. Yod al kei tzkof, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, taking an oath by his very throne. But it doesn't say kisei. It says case. And it doesn't say his full name. It says kof. So Chazal say, because Ein Hashem Sholem Ve'ein HaKisei Sholem Ad Shri Mocha Shmoy Sholem Ve'ein. Nishba Shem Shmoy Sholem. He quotes in part from Chazal, the Kisoi Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, meaning his presence in the world and his glory in the world, is not full, it's attenuated. Until Amalek is completely destroyed, the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his own world cannot reign supreme. So if we defeat Amalek on the 13th of Adar, if you look at the Targum on the Pasuk, that's what it says. But it says in the Pasuk, that Targum says specifically, naming Amalek. We went after the Amalek in the 127 Medinas. So this was on Muhammad's Amalek. That's why it's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, L'chein tzrichim ma'oidus mayach be'ibud rishayim. Sayyidina Hashem. The sinner is not just that we are able to survive. We're able to survive and then continue doing what we do for Hashem's sake. It's not about us. We don't live for ourselves. We don't live for a good time. We live to be marvik v'at shemayim. That's why l'chein tzrichim ma'oid l'smayach b'ibud yushayim sayyidina Hashem. U'v'nei Yisrael t'nivru'u l'chayit al ha'bayir Yisrael. That's what we're here for. It's why we were created. L'chayid al ha'bayre Yisrach. To bear witness to and then teach the world of his greatness and heighten, cause that greatness to be known and felt universally. The Rishayim holds back. The Rishayim infects us and wants to corrupt us so we won't bring glory to Hashem's name. With the destruction of Rishayim, Am Yisrael is much more powerful, prominent, and strengthened. Again, not for Am Yisrael's sake, but for Hashem's sake. K'may she'ayimrim, l'haydiya, she'kol kevechel, l'yevayshu, l'yikom l'manetach. In other words, the Yeshua is l'haydiya, to let the whole world know. So we read this L'Hodia, meaning that it's for us to know, right? That the next happens, L'Hodia, so that we should feel, you know, it pays to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't it? Don't trust in Ahasuerus. Don't bow to the Nebuchadnezzar the way they did. Don't participate in those mishnas, in those banquets with those kings, because they're not important. Don't be scared of them. Don't pledge allegiance to them so much. Just have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shekol Kevechel, those who hope in you, lo yegoshu lo yikomu, l'nezach kovet. Says the Chasamis, but there's a bigger l'haydiya. The whole point of Am Yisrael is l'haydiya to the whole world. Shekol Kevechel, lo yegoshu lo yikomu, l'nezach. Everybody should know that there's a Ribbono Yisrael Olam and trust in him, and not in what everything that people do and everything that we think we're able to control when we're not. It's a lesson to mankind. That's what it means to be a light unto the nation. Now, the next part of Shoshana Yaakov says, Oror Haman Shabikesh Labdi. So since I am tasked with letting the whole world know and singing out the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Haman would have stopped me from doing so forever. Oror Haman Shabikesh Labdi. And in the context in which we're speaking, Fasan explains, Tainu, the reason to say Ar Haman is because Kol Hatzar Shel HaTzadikim, what was distressing for Tzadikim and Mordechai and Esther, Hoyesh Al Shevetzim La'avik Shem Yisroel, Ve'oilam. It's not just that we have to live ourselves, but Shem Yisroel, meaning the purpose and the idea, and the ideal of a nation that teaches the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Amalek wants to destroy. And if we're not here, who's going to bring out, who's going to elicit from life itself and from all of the world, who's going to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wonders, who's going to celebrate for mankind's sake, highlight the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, teach the world what we ultimately taught, that there is only one great master of the universe. So who's going to herald him, teach him, celebrate him, if we're not here? In other words, Purim is not selfish. Oh, we would have been destroyed. Baruch Hashem, look, we're here. We are here. Why are we here? We're here for Hashem's sake. Now, the more you realize what Amalek was trying to do, and reflect on how great the loss of Kavod Shemayim would have been, the more you're ready to celebrate Purim. To the extent that you are thinking not about ourselves, we're thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because ultimately it's defeat of Amalek. And what is Amalek all about? Like he just said, En Hakisei Shalem, Hashem's throne, as it were, is not a complete throne. He's not able to rise up on that throne and be seen and felt on that throne. En Hashem Shalem, the very name of the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is incomplete and recognized by grace, with necessary understanding of it and its clarity in the eyes and minds of mankind, can't happen when Amalek is opposed. So if Amalek still exists, ain't it like vain? So therefore, when we defeat Amalek on the 13th, we have a lot to think about. And now the Sfasana says, that's why we don't celebrate on the 13th. Because only after you defeat your enemy, v'noyach me'oyveihem, do you have the ability to reflect on, oh wow, what would have happened? Because it's not about our lives, physically. It's about what would have been in this world. The absolute darkness and the diminution of Kvod Shemayim that would have ensued if Amalek would have succeeded. That's what we have to think about. And he goes on to say, truthfully, he says, you only appreciate the evil of Amalek afterward when you can look back and reflect on what Amalek wanted and what Amalek accomplished when temporarily he did injure us, weaken us. Oh, you think about it. And then you realize how dangerous it was and the full evil that Amalek represents. And what do? You respond with greater commitment for the sake of Kavod Shemayim. So on the very day of the defeat of Amalek, you don't necessarily come up with all of these responses. You don't have the full understanding of what Amalek wanted. You don't have the full understanding of what Amalek meant. Afterwards, you actually start to hate Amalek more. When you have the time and luxury to look back and reflect on what Amalek wanted to do to you, you can actually realize how nefarious, how evil Amalek really was. I don't know if it's the case, but perhaps it was the case for the generations that experienced what they did in Eastern Europe, maybe even when the Churban in Europe happened in the years 1939 to 1945, that while it was happening, the evil of it was just so immediate. They want to destroy us, they want to kill us all. But the magnitude of it, the sense of what they're trying to do and why they're trying to do it, needs perspective. And perspective on it comes after the effort, and after that enemy is defeated. Let's continue. The Zashikosu, he says, and that's why it says that as Esther argues, for the first time she finally says who she is, she says that she is from Yehuda, she's from Bnei Yisrael, and that there's a decree to destroy her and her whole people, wholesale. And she says, V'ilu la'avodim v'lushvachais nimkarnu hecherashti. If we would have been spared and just sold into slavery, I would be quiet. Ki ein hatzor shoveh benezek hamelech. Those are the words. Now the Sfasanis here is very cryptic. He just says, so let's explain what this means. She is saying that the point is that we would have been completely and utterly destroyed. And if we're utterly destroyed, then there's no one to do Hashem's work in the world anymore. And it's the v'chulu, because the rest of the words right after that are, Ki ein hatzor shoveh benezek hamelech. That's what she says. That's the end of what she has to say. Eigatzar Shovah Benezek HaMelech, Rashi says, means that Tzor, the enemy, Shoveh, does not take into account Nezek HaMelech. You know how damaging this is to your malchus. You know, we could have been sold off for a lot of money. Imagine if every Jew in the 127th far-flung Medinos of this far-flung empire, imagine if all of them would be sold into slavery. Some of them would be worth a lot of money. Big, strong fellows, capable women, young children who are able to raise families and create more slaves. It was a gold mine if he just would have taken them all captive. You know why he didn't, says Esther? Ein hatzor shoveh benezek hamelech. He doesn't care about your coffers. He doesn't consider the economic losses that this. He just wants to destroy it. That's the pshat. This is Zohar HaKadosh in Tetzaveh, page Kuf Pehei, Amud Aleph. Kamada at Amar, as it says in the Sefer Yehoshua, after Achan took up the spoils of war, and we were defeated, 36 of us, Le'alenu, defeated in the Mechama against Ai, and Yehoshua and the Kenan crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what will happen to us? V'yechrizu es Shemeinu min Haaretz, will be wiped out. Uma ta'asel l'shimcha ha'gol. Then what will you do, Hashem? If Am Yisrael is wiped out, ma ta'asel l'shimcha ha'gol. How about your name? And your, the idea of, and the truth of you in this world. Who will pronounce it? Who will teach it? The Hashma ilah lo itkayein b'kiyumei. This is not something that the Malach HaMavis, or Edom, or Esau will advance. V'do'ihu, that's the meaning of Nezek. When it says HaMelech in the Megillah, it doesn't say HaMelech HaHashverosh. It's also a reference to HaKadosh Baruch. The explanation the Zohar says is, Esther says, you know, if Am Yisrael is destroyed, there will be no one to announce, no one to celebrate for this world and teach. Kavod Shemayim, Ein Hatzar Shoveh, this Amaleki doesn't value and doesn't care about Nezek HaMelech, destruction of Kavod Shemayim, at all. That's, believe it or not, that's what the Sassanist is saying in these two sentences, two lines, or line and a half. That's all he means. But it's a huge message. V'zeh shekosuv, la'avodah v'l'shvachas min kalim hecharashti v'chul. Ein Hatzar Shoveh v'Nezek HaMelech is referring to that Zohar HaKadosh, where the Zohar says, Ein Hatzar Shoveh v'Nezek HaMelech means that Amalek wants destroyed, doesn't care that, or wants destroyed because that way there's nobody to bring honor to the Melech Malchim Hamlochim any, says the Sassanist. So you see in her words before the king, she came arguing not just simply because of the lives of all these Jews, she came because Ein Hatzar Shoveh v'Nezek HaMelech, who will teach the world about the glorious one Melech Malchim Hamlochim Hashbaruch. That's why we need to mark Purim the day after when all of this comes to mind and when all of the threat retrospectively is appreciated and when we respond to it with renewed commitment. Oh, that's when you have the defeat of Amalek. The defeat of Amalek is not just military. The defeat of Amalek is when we are committed more than we ever were before, where Amalek wanted to destroy us because we're not committed. Day after, we say, okay, now there's more. So he goes on and he says, V'l'chein achar v'chiyas Amalek kiblu teirav u'mitzvahs mechadosh. So that after the defeat of Amalek, we responded with Kabbalah Satayra, renewed, k'meshi kosev, hadik kiblua v'me'ach ha'shveira. U'b'chol eitz, anytime, every time, sh'yesh v'chiyas Amalek, m'shveira achakach, ahavas ha'tayra v'yisrael. When we have to fight Amalek, because Amalek stands opposed to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do we do right afterwards? Recommit with greater strength to the Torah. Before Matan Torah, where we came from a place called Rifidim. What happened in Rifidim? We came to Rifidim by Yelachamu Amalek. Where? In Rifidim. And the response then, after Rifidim, we marched to Har Sinai for Kabbalah Satayrah. We defeat Amalek on the 13th of Adar. What is the consequence? We, Lehud Moisa'ir, the symbol of the Sos and Bikar, commitment to mitzvahs, and the first, Lehud Moisa'ir, Ayra, Zutayr. Lachain, therefore, Achar Yoim HaMelchama, Achar, the operative word is after the war, Bo B'nei Yisrael El HaManuch, that's when we come to Menucha, which here doesn't just mean that you have to fight. Menucha means, as in Menuchas Hadas. That's when you can think, wow, what we just went through and what would have happened, but didn't, what they wanted to do, but failed to do. Now we realize it. And look at what he says in the next sentence. Amazing. V'nasu soinim b'yoter harvei l'mafreya al-hama. We really, really recognized, all of us, the enemy, and hated and had greater, deeper, more profound functional enmity toward the enemy afterward, on that Menucha day, rather than on the day of Nekama itself. Sherau v'hevinu, because they also, we, Amiso, also, and understood, Ma Ibn Mehen, Kalayab and Maisa Hiroshi Yama. What had he taken from us? Anytime he had prevailed, whatever he had done to weaken us, to weaken our resolve, to pull us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after he's defeated, we realize how dangerous he is, and how much we would have suffered, and continues to become weaker, spiritually weaker, because of him, let alone destroyed. The Chaim Stiv, and that's why it says, Zohar Yitzhak Shukhasa Lukha Malek, Adarach and Tezka Mimitz, right? And it goes on and says, V'hayah V'haniyah Hashem Alakasa Lukha Mikol Evecha Misavid, then, Tzimka Zecha Malek. He's pointing out that just like in the Torah, the mitzvah of Rechiyas HaMalek is to happen, V'hayah V'haniyah Hashem Alakasa Lukha Mikol Evecha. Haniyah meaning when you are given Menucha. That's when you destroy. Says the Sasemis, and it's a brilliant stroke. You look at the words. He says, well, that's what we did in the case of the Megillah. It says, V'noyach me'oyveihem. The day of V'noyach me'oyveihem is the day of V'hayah, V'haniyach, Hashem v'tach alachom yikol ha'evach, then timche ezecher Amalek. Because that's when you really have an understanding of who Amalek is, just how great the threat of Amalek to your purpose as Am Yisrael, holy Am Yisrael. Now you understand what Am Yisrael's Kedusha, Chas V'Shalom, compromised by Amalek, would have meant, reduced, compromised, taken away, let alone the physical destruction of Am Yisrael. A very, very interesting idea, he says, about the Golos. Do we understand what the Golos are doing to us? You understand what being amongst them and what their influences are, what Amalek does, how insidious Amalek is, we don't even understand. Wow, we are the victims of Amalek, and we are all the victims of Amalek. We don't even realize how profoundly negatively affected we are. It's only that doesn't just mean the physical threat, it means the whole gamut of all of that which weakens us and somehow travels upon us and our resolve to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to feel confident about who we are, confident about what we're telling the world about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of that which is, so to speak, pulling us down, which is the work of Amalek. Afterwards, then we see. V'chitam Lahamin, we have to know, oh yes, it's Amalek that wants to destroy, it's Amalek that's the Yed Zahara, it's Amalek that doesn't give us the power and the glory and the sense of assertiveness and pride that we should have it as Yidden. We should make all the difference to the world, not them, because we're under the effect of that enemy. After you are able to understand and recognize how evil they are, then then you can defeat them. L'chein, that's why it says, B'yem ha'manucha, ha'yisifu sinna Allah. And he goes on to say that that's why it says, V'nayach me'aybehem, V'harag b'stoynehem. There's a passage where it's referring. Wait a minute. It says in the Megillah, Noyach me'aybehem, V'harag b'stoynehem. But that's wrong. First we needed to harag b'stoynehem, and then we took the time out leisurely to relax. He says, no, we didn't. What did Esther ask? Esther said, give me another day. Give me another day, because now that we have defeated our enemy and we have come to rest, we're able to understand our enemy better and have more resolve to defeat that enemy than we did when we first began to do battle against him. So give me another day. Then Timcha. V'lachein biksha Esther. At the end of this paragraph, V'lachein biksha Esther l'kayim ha'adakama gam b'yayim yudalit shehoyuzman ha'manucha. That's why she asked for that extra day, because it was already after we came to Menucha. We come to Menucha, we really understand what Amalek is and why we have to defeat Amalek. Not for our sake, for Hashem's sake. So that's why we don't celebrate Purim on the day of our salvation. Where you would say, look, you know, that's the day that was Venahavaychu. Asher Yishlutu Hayudim Heim Abisayneim. When was the day Asher Yishlutu Hayudim Heim Abisayneim? When did we have, with permission from the king, to destroy our enemies? On the 14th? No, on the 13th. So why don't we mark Purim on the 13th? Because on the 13th we destroyed our enemies, and then we realized who and what our enemy is all about. Oh, and our enemy is not all about just our own lives. Our enemy is about Kli Shemayim. And it says, in the case of Amalek, only after you have peace and rest, will you be able to look back and understand what this enemy wanted to do, and even what the enemy has done to you, compromising us, compromising our kedusha. We come back at it with saying more kedusha. We come back at it with saying more taira. And that's exactly what we did. We read in the Megillah of the Pasuk, like Hud Ma'aseh Simcha Nesasim Yekor Kain Tiyalamu. We say, you know, in our Havdalah every week we read this, because we start the week with what? With excitement. We're going to have a great week. We take the kedusha of Shabbos. We're going to bring it into the week. But when did that pasuk happen? If you look literally at the Megillah, you realize that pasuk didn't happen until the 23rd day of Sivan. Which means, says the Sfasemis in Tafresh Membeis, it was after Matan Torah, after Chag Shavuos. In other words, Bnei Yisrael went through the process of commitment to Torah that grew and expanded, and then Mordechai prevailed upon the king to have a new set of edicts sent out such that we could take revenge against our enemies. And then the pasuk says, "I use my sons," because it wasn't right away. It was after we reflected on, wow, what would Amalek have done and what it means for Hashem's sake that we're able to continue and recommit to him and to his Torah. Now, let's celebrate Purim. So that's why every year we don't celebrate on the 13th, which is the day of our survival and of the miracle of Nechachachu. No, we celebrate the day after. So it's B'chaniach L'cha that you're able to know and understand what to truly celebrate, what to be joyous for the sake of Kli Shemayim. Have a wonderful, happy Simchat Purim, everybody. A wonderful Purim.